ವಿದ್ಯುದಾವಹೈ ತೇಜಸ್ವಿನಾವಧೀತಮಸ್ತು ಮಾ ವಿದ್ವಿಷಾವಹೈ. ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ. ಅದ್ವೇಷ್ಟಾ ಸರ್ವಭೂತಾನಾಂ ಮೈತ್ರಕರುಣ ಏವಚ ನಿರ್ಮಮೋ ನಿರಹಂಕಾರಃ ಸಮದುಃಖಸುಖಕ್ಷಮೇ. ಅದ್ವೇಷ್ಟಾ ಸರ್ವಭೂತಾನಾಂ ಮೈತ್ರಕರುಣ ಏವಚ ನಿರ್ಮಮೋ ನಿರಹಂಕಾರಃ ಸಮದುಃಖಸುಖಕ್ಷಮೇ. ಸಂತುಷ್ಟ ಸತತಂ ಯೋಗಿ ಯತಾತ್ಮ ದೃಢ ನಿಶ್ಚಯ ಮಯ್ಯರ್ಪಿತ ಮನೋ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಯೋ ಮದ್ಭಕ್ತಸ್ಸ ಮೇ ಪ್ರಿಯ. ಸಂತುಷ್ಟ ಸತತಂ ಯೋಗಿ ಯತಾತ್ಮ ದೃಢ ನಿಶ್ಚಯ ಮಯ್ಯರ್ಪಿತ ಮನೋ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಯೋ ಮದ್ಭಕ್ತಸ್ಸ ಮೇ ಪ್ರಿಯ. ಯಸ್ಮಾನ್ನೋದ್ವಿಜತೆ ಲೋಕಾ ಲೋಕಾನೋದ್ವಿಜತೆ ಚಯ ಹರ್ಷಾಮರ್ಷಭಯೋದ್ವೇಗೈ ಮುಕ್ತೋ ಯಸ್ಸ ಚ ಮೇ ಪ್ರಿಯ. ಯಸ್ಮಾನ್ನೋದ್ವಿಜತೆ ಲೋಕಾ ಲೋಕಾನೋದ್ವಿಜತೆ ಚಯ ಹರ್ಷಾಮರ್ಷಭಯೋದ್ವೇಗೈ ಮುಕ್ತೋ ಯಸ್ಸ ಚ ಮೇ ಪ್ರಿಯ. ಅನಪೇಕ್ಷ ಸುಚಿರ್ದಕ್ಷ ಉದಾಸೀನೋ ಗತವ್ಯತಃ ಸರ್ವಾರಂಭ ಪರಿತ್ಯಾಗಿ ಯೋ ಮದ್ಭಕ್ತಸ್ಸ ಮೇ ಪ್ರಿಯ. ಅನಪೇಕ್ಷ ಸುಚಿರ್ದಕ್ಷ ಉದಾಸೀನೋ ಗತವ್ಯತಃ ಸರ್ವಾರಂಭ ಪರಿತ್ಯಾಗಿ ಯೋ ಮದ್ಭಕ್ತಸ್ಸ ಮೇ ಪ್ರಿಯ. ಯೋ ನ ಹೃಷ್ಯತಿ ನ ದ್ವೇಷ್ಟಿ ನ ಶೋಚತಿ ನ ಕಾಂಕ್ಷತಿ ಶುಭಾಶುಭ ಪರಿತ್ಯಾಗಿ ಭಕ್ತಿಮಾನ್ಯಸ್ಸ ಮೇ ಪ್ರಿಯ. ಯೋ ನ ಹೃಷ್ಯತಿ ನ ದ್ವೇಷ್ಟಿ ನ ಶೋಚತಿ ನ ಕಾಂಕ್ಷತಿ ಶುಭಾಶುಭ ಪರಿತ್ಯಾಗಿ ಭಕ್ತಿಮಾನ್ಯಸ್ಸ ಮೇ ಪ್ರಿಯ. Rather than mechanically doing action, mechanical actions, knowledge of that action, how it is to be done, why it is done, and dedicating it with that understanding is better. Knowledge is better than action, mere mechanical action. And then, better than knowledge is jnana, single-pointed focus, attention, doing that action with single attention, dhyana. Dhyana chanti rananda. Even doing that action with renouncing the food, it is better. And when you do that, what immediately you get is peace. The fact is that when you function like this, the very action gives you the joy, and joyfully you perform the right action and it produces the fruit, even though you are not attached to the fruit. Shanti anantaram. And once you have been performing like this, you grow in bhakti. Like we have said, the five stages of bhakti he talked about till 11th. What is that? First is, you have desires, you are not able to work in the with the goal that I am working for a larger cause. You have a lot of desires, you want to work for yourself only. So he says, okay, chalo, no problem, work for yourself. But dedicate it to me and dedicate the fruit. Accept whatever fruit I give as my prasad. Do that at least. Then there will come a maturity in your mind where you are able to function in the spirit of karma yoga. You are not going to work to fulfill your desires. You are going to work for the welfare of the total. Again, with arpana bhava and prasad bhava. That will give you further maturity where your mind is free of desires. As a result of that, you are more introverted. You can sit down and do upasana on an ekar rupa. You are not yet mature to look in terms of visual rupa. So ekar rupa bhakti. And from ekar rupa, your mind matures further to be able to accept the entire universe as nothing but the manifestation of divinity and see divinity as visual rupa. And from Vishwa Rupa you go beyond and you are able to see God as Nirguna, beyond even manifestation. And slowly, as you are evolving as a bhakta, you go closer and closer to the divinity and ultimately you become one with Bhagavan. The Jnani Bhakta finally merges with Bhagavan. So as you get closer and closer to the divinity, the qualities of divinity will reflect in you. How do you know you are doing spiritual or not? These qualities should reflect in you. So he gives what are the qualities of a bhakta. He talks about 35 qualities. It's not like it's a complete list. And in fact all these qualities are interlinked. Right? It's not separate from other. Yet he gives about 35. Whatever inspires you, you take that and strive to develop that. As a result of that, all the other qualities will develop. So a bhakta whose attention is turned towards divinity will naturally be imbibing these qualities. Also, one who is turned towards that direction would be putting in effort to develop these qualities. So, to the extent I am doing sadhana, naturally it develops. And I also should consciously put in effort to develop these qualities. Let us chant verse number 30 together. Advesta sarva bhutana, advesta sarva bhutana, maitra karuna evacha, maitra karuna evacha, nirmamo nirahankaraha, nirmamo nirahankaraha, samadukka sukakshami, samadukka sukakshami, advesta sarva bhutana, maitra karuna evacha, nirmamo nirahankaraha, samadukka sukakshami. Advesta sarva bhutana. In a bhakta, the first quality he talks about is there should be no dvesha, no hatred. Dvesha, hatred, advesha means no hatred. And no hatred to whom? Sarva bhutana. The word sarva is a very small word, but it includes everything. Sarva. It includes everything. So, a bhakta should have no hatred to any being. So, even if you have hatred to one being, that proves that you are to that extent not a bhakta. So, now, generally what do we say? You know, I have love for so many people, but this one person or a set of people. Why? Because they are hurting me. It looks as if they have taken birth only to hurt me. Right? So, such people who are vicious, how can I be loving? How can I not have this hatred? So in this context we quoted Mahatma Ji last week. What is the quotation? He says, any fool can find shanti in shanti. But a wise man develops, finds shanti in ashanti. Whatever we are studying, Gita, anything for that matter, to develop ourselves is to find the peace even in a disturbing environment, even in a condition which is disturbing. Right? So,
but if
you eat,
there is nothing disturbs
you. Exactly. That is what is bhakta. As you grow, to the extent it should not disturb you. To the extent it disturbs you, you have to further grow. That's all we are saying. So, hatred. When somebody hurts you and you are hating that person, what is it showing? It is showing that there is still love for yourself rather than love for Bhagavan. Are you with me? Please understand this. My bhakti. Bhakti means what? Self-effacement. What is true bhakti? True bhakti is self-effacement. Surrendering to divinity. Dissolving of the ego. Right? So, to the extent I am seeing somebody hurting me means that that attachment to me is still there. And the idea of me is still corrupted idea. That I am this small individual, I am separate from the total. And this person who is apart from me, separate from me, is hurting me. Right? Therefore, I am having this feeling towards that person. If my intellect is fortified by the study of the scripture and its understanding, I will not see myself separate from the total. So we gave you another example. By mistake, if your finger hurt your eyes, what is your attitude towards your finger? Are you going to be hating your finger and thinking about chopping it and throwing it away?
You
understand that finger is also part of the total. And your identification is with the total body. So when you say bhakta, one who identifies with the total is a bhakta. To the extent you remain separate from the total, to that extent you are not a bhakta. Are you with me? So bhakta is not that emotional, superstitious kind or anything of the sort. Bhakti means one who is aligned oneself with the total. That is bhakti. To the extent you have aligned yourself with the total, you are a bhakta. So then, you would have the same attitude like this. And why is that person hurting you? He is out of foolishness, out of unrefined intellect. He or she is thinking you to be their enemy separate from the total. Therefore, they are behaving that way. And when they are conspiring to hurt you, they are not having the understanding that they are actually hurting themselves. So you would actually feel sorry for them and not have the feeling of hatred towards them. So now, if you have that hatred, what you are supposed to do is, you have to first accept that to some extent I have still not aligned myself with the total. So I can only align myself with the total more to the extent I do my study and sadhana. So whenever this hatred feeling comes, what you have to understand is, I have to still grow. So if somebody is saying something and you feel the hatred coming out of you, ideally you should be thankful to that person having shown you that you still have what?
To grow. That's a privilege.
You still have?
To grow.
To grow. You have to grow more. Now, the thing is, it is very difficult to find a person who actually points our fault. Now, his intention or her intention may be to hurt us, but it is in our hands to convert that to our positivity. See, somebody is hurting you, consciously maybe, wanting to hurt you. That is their privilege. Right? And while they function like that, the law of karma will hurt them. They will hurt themselves through that activity. But in your hands, you have the capacity to use that to your positivity. Right? If the cap fits me, I should wear it. And even if the cap doesn't fit me, the criticism that they are showering on me may not be correct, but the criticism has hurt me. That shows that there is still ego in me. That shows that I am still not yet completely aligned with the total. For that reason, I will be thankful to that person. Because it's very difficult. That's why we say the satsang, you know. Ajinkra also says satsangatve nishsangatva. Be in satsang always. Now, what is satsang? Satsang is a group of people or environment or anything that will be what? Conducive for your growth. So somebody who pampers your ego is not truly speaking satsang, but somebody who helps you to grow beyond your ego. They are your satsang. Who help you to be independent, they are your satsang. Somebody who makes you dependent, they are not your satsang. Constantly pampering your ego so that you become dependent on certain aspects of life, they are not your satsang. Somebody who is objectively taking stance to make you independent, they are your satsang. So this person is not really doing with that intention. Right, he did not call him or her a satsang, but understand it is in your hands to convert such an activity also for your positivity. That is in your hands. So this is how a bhakta will function. Advesta sarva bhutana. So if I am still engendering hatred, it doesn't matter, I am visiting temple thrice a day, doing puja 10 times a day, attending Gita class once a week, all this is fine. Still, my alignment with the total is not yet fully done. And me aligning with the total is not for the sake of the total. By aligning with the total, I help myself. It is in my interest. So, Advesha Sarva Bhutana. So, next time, when you feel hurt, anybody, right, whether what they are saying is fitting you, that the criticism is correct or not correct, you will use it to mind your own business. And in fact, when you function like this from your side, you are not creating vibration. See, there will be karma only when there is resistance. When you are silent, there is no resistance. Where is that chain going to be formed? Are you with me? It is creating the resistance that is a problem. Swami Ramakrishna says, anything forced is never forceful. Right? I am from Tamil Nadu. I am born and brought up there in Chennai. Now, Jallikattu, everybody knows in India, probably in the world also. Because, whatever reason, the court has banned it. I'm not getting into that. Now, once a ban has come and over 2-3 years, the ban has been there and, you know, political parties, whatever good thing, bad thing they do, now, it is like, how can you say we can't do it? Even the fellow who never bothered about delicate food, he understands how he is coming to the street. Now, anything force. Now, from your side, if there is no resistance, over a period of time it will die its natural death. But by creating the resistance, you create a relationship. Please understand this.
You get involved.
Yeah, you are resisting it. And then, you create necessary samsara. On the other side, you don't create the resistance. How do you not create the resistance? By gaining that knowledge. By understanding this. This is what the scriptures will do if you study correctly. But from your mental side, there is no resistance. In fact, when in your mental side there is no resistance, you will be able to take proper course of action to deal with the situation. When there is resistance, you will also not take proper course of action. A mentally disturbed person, he will be reacting, not responding. So, Advaishta Sarva Bhutana. Then, Maitra. Maitra means friendly. A bhakta will be friendly to the world. What does it mean? A friend will do whatever is in the interest of his or her friends. He will be friendly to the entire universe. And being a friend of the universe, whatever they will do, it will be in the interest of the soul. It is not that they have motive to do some good or something. They will naturally be doing only what is in the interest of the soul. They will be friendly. They have no animosity. Even to somebody who engenders hatred. Right? This is the quality of a Mahatma. Right? The person who hurts Mahatma Gandhiji or Jesus Christ, if you take examples, somebody who is hurting them. Right? Somebody who is hurting them. They are saying, forgive them. So, this doesn't come when your identification is with the ego. This comes with knowledge when you have demolished the ego. Even to a great extent, even if you have not fully demolished it, to a great extent you have dealt with that ego, then this comes naturally to do what is in the best interest of the total. Because you see the total, yourself as a part of the total and every other being as an extension of you. So how can you do anything negative? So you will be friendly, Maitra. Then Karuna. Compassion, Karuna. What is this compassion? Karuna.
Empathy with them.
This
there'll be no judgment then you will relate with.
See, the word compassion should be differentiated from weak pity. William Wordsworth uses this word weak pity in his poem Laomian. He says, gods do not approve weak pity. So what is weak pity? Weak pity is vichara, when somebody is in comparison to you, you are in a better state. Right? You go to visit somebody in the hospital. You say vichara. So there is a very subtle level ego is playing. That is not compassion. Many a times what happens, see, there has to be consistency in our compassion as well. If it is truly compassion, there has to be consistency in your life. A compassionate attitude should be there in your life. See, in the book Vedanta Treatise, when Swamiji talks about charity, he says, half of the charity you are doing can be avoided if only you are truly charitable. Oliver Goldsmith says, nakedness of this world can be clothed with the trimmings of the vain. Right? Vanity. Vain means vanity. Out of vanity, you have amassed more than what you deserve. Right? You have taken more than what is necessary for you. As a result of that, you deny people.
And then when you come in front of them, or they come in front of you, you are apparently out of compassion doing some charity. Firstly, in the first place, if you did not take more than what is necessary, you would have not created the need.
See, the other half, due to their past actions or their inactions, they may be in poverty. Are you with me? But mostly, you see, due to your greed or gluttony or whatever, you have taken more than what is necessary. So a compassionate person like Buddha, he'll be naturally compassionate in every sense. It is a natural fragrance of a person who is evolved. It is not weak pity. It's not only when somebody who is less blessed with you, as it were in the worldly sense, comes in front of you that you will express your compassion. Even when they are not there, you will continue to be compassionate.
Then it is truly compassion.
A bhakta will function like that. I will not take more than what is necessary for me. So you are right, need not have gone to mandir, and then when you come out of the mandir, you distribute it. You need not have done all that. But you are still compassionate, karuna. That will be your natural fragrance. Hear me. It is not something that you know, you get out, you put that fragrance on your body. It stays for a while and then it goes away. In the case of a bhakta, it stays with him permanently. It is his natural order. It's not an order that he has put on himself. Hear me. So it has to be differentiated from weak pity. So pity is a weakness. It is not a strength. Whereas compassion is a strength. So the compassion of a bhakta will sometimes look very tough. What do you mean? But it is done out of compassion. Like Shakespeare says, be cruel only to be kind. So advesta sarva bhutana maitra karuna evacha nirmama and nirahankara. This mindness, this is mind. Simple thing, see, all this kind of delusion, this is mine, that is mine. You just have to bring in your buddhi and ask the question. If you actually ask the question, who does it actually belong to? Right? Nothing is yours. The moment you claim that mindness, it is out of foolishness. So many people have contributed for it to belong to you. See, and also the concept of mind, when you say it's mine, you are saying it is belonging to this fake identity, fake personality. That fake personality itself is limited, temporary. Right? Fake personality itself is temporary. How do you say then it belongs to him or her? Even that person leaves. And things keeps on changing hands. What was somebody else's becomes yours. This keeps on changing. So, basically non-possessive attitude a bhakta has. He will understand everything belongs to Ishvara. Ultimately everything belongs to Ishvara. You can put in so much of effort and try to usurp something. Ultimately what happens? You will have to give up that and get up. They'll take it. See, it's very interesting how the whole thing functions. You know, you in the cremation ground, even if the dead body is left with some gold jewelry, it will be taken away by the people there. So what do you mean by this is mine? What do you mean? So, whatever you have, you should have the attitude that it is given to you for you to use it to give it back to the society. You are given proper hands, proper legs. You deserved it through your punya karma. Okay? Okay. Now how are you utilizing them? Is it for the welfare of the total Bhagavan or just for your glorification? So the attitude should be that. Mere mama, that's what it means. Not mine, it's yours. Tera tujhko arpan kya lage mera. So you dedicate it, you are blessed with certain things due to your punya bhava karma. The sum total of it. And perhaps you understand it. Whatever I have got, it is yours, you have given it to me to use it for the welfare of it. So it doesn't mean that I will not possess it. What it means is that possessive attitude will be removed. So this will be your attitude. This is given to me. Now I am going to use it for the total. See, this is the difference. A non-bhakta, whatever he has got, he will be using it for oneself. Whereas a bhakta, whatever he has got, he will put it for use for the... This is the difference. So it's not possessions, it is non-possessiveness. It is easy to give up your possessions actually. It is very difficult to give up the possessiveness. You know, Swami Dayananda Saraswati Ji gives this example. I said this story before also. You know, in traditional families, this, in India especially, it's arranged marriage that happens. So, the boy was going to see his family and friends, a girl. And while he was going to a village. You know, in South India, you went with dhoti and shirt. So, he was wearing dhoti and shirt and going. And on the way, there was a lot of dirt. When the car was passing by, the slush was thrown on his shirt and dhoti. So he exchanged his clothes with his friends. And his friend was wearing the dirty clothes and he was wearing the properly washed iron clothes. While he was going in the village, all the children asked, "Who are you? Where are you coming?" "Oh, he is the bridegroom, he is going to see that girl." So they are asking, "Who is the bridegroom here?" So he says, the friend says, "He is the bridegroom, but the clothes he is wearing is mine." Right, they are not asking about the clothes. "Who is the bridegroom?" He says, "He is the bridegroom, but the clothes he is wearing is mine." 2-3 times he does that. Finally the friend says, "Baba, you take your clothes." See, in other words, you would have given it physically, but you will still claim the possessiveness. So a bhakta, whatever he may have, he'll have his attitude. It is sarvam krishna arpana. You'll be using it for the welfare of everyone. So you know, a lot of people say, "Oh, then what should be our attitude towards what we have got?" Use that for the welfare of the total. This, see, there's a difference between a person who is trying to save and a person who uses it for the welfare of the total, who's got it as a result of spillover. There's a difference. So, the point he's trying to say here is, don't feel guilty about your possessions. Feel blessed about your possessions and use it for the welfare of the total. That is nirmamatva. Then nirahankar. You know, I am the ahankar manifests in three ways. I am supreme. I alone exist. I am the doer. Simply subject inquiry. All these feelings, put it to inquiry. I am supreme. Does it make any sense? When you say I am supreme, it's foolishness. You may be talented in certain things. You can't say that you are supreme in every sense. Right? So you just subject it. When you say I am supreme, in what sense you are supreme? It's impossible to live without the contribution of someone whom you call as very ordinary. You cannot survive without them. So to say that I am supreme, it's not possible to live without such contribution. So how do you say you are supreme? Everything is done by you. I alone exist. Everybody else is there to serve you. as if you are separate. No, ego, how it manifests is, even in a house where somebody has died, your ego would like to be the dead body, because that is where the center of attention is. So the ego would like to keep everybody's attention on itself. So that is what he is saying, nirhankar. The attention is not on oneself. Nirhankar means, I alone exist. This I remember vividly, so I am giving this example. My personal example. While growing up, I used to love badminton, playing badminton. I still play, but those days it was like passion. So, but I never went and got proper training from a coach or something. We used to play near our house and we go to competitions. So at district level, you go on second or third round, you lose. And those days all this media and all that was not there. So it used to be reported in the newspaper, and district level tournament in a newspaper in some one corner, but all they don't get any other news, they put it. So usually you lose to somebody who is taking proper professional training and all that in the second or third round. And you know, you lose the points. Those days you'd be for 15, nowadays it's 21. So 15, 5, 15, 10, like that you would lose straight sets. Next day morning, I remember I used to open the newspaper, last page I go to see the sports column where it is reported in the small print, Lakshmi Narayan lost to Ajay, 15-5, 15-10. The name Lakshmi Narayan, you know, has come in history. Even if you have lost, the ego is so much, the attention is on. That's what he is saying, nirhankar. You know? One of the practices that is suggested by Swamiji is when you write or talk, try to limit the word I, consciously. He says if you read any book, first you read the preface. If there is more I, throw the book, it's not worth reading. In the Upanishads, even in the Gita, Sri Krishna says, in the Upanishads very clearly they say, Anya deva tat viditatato aviditatati iti shushruma purvesham enastar vyaja chakshite. He himself is a self-realized soul, the Upanishadic master. But he says, that's how we heard from the great masters. Iti shushruma purvesham. He doesn't say, I am saying from my experience. He could say that easily, but he doesn't say that. Anya deva tat viditatato aviditatati iti shushruma purvesham. That, you know, it's a continuity. So many people have contributed. Even if you do some new innovation, it is with the help of the so many other factors, no? If I'm sitting and talking here, it's because of so many factors. Right? So the gurus have contributed. Electricity, you need to get up early and study. Without electricity, without so many people contributing, how is it possible to do what you are doing? So if you have that understanding, whatever innovation, that is also possible because your school teachers, your parents, so many people have contributed. Of course, you have also done your limit, but don't give that exaggerated value for that small contribution. Always understand it in line with the other's contribution, so that you will not have that egoistic feeling. A bhakta never loses that anger. That is a bhakta. Yeah, it's not that I have done nothing, ulta. You know, this is called, somebody has called you, invited you to give a talk. You have accepted, first of all, either you should have not accepted. Having accepted, you just go and start the talk. First 20 minutes is the talk discussion. The talk itself is 20 minutes. Almost 18 minutes you say, I don't know whether I am worthy of talking. You have called me, so I have come here. Please pardon. Don't have to say all this. Just start. You know? Call you. Go there. Be a plain, blunt man. Do the talk. Don't waste your talk in all this. We send to students, people who are very humble. This is being falsely modest. Somebody asks, who is conducting classes in this house? I am conducting. Oh, you use the word I, so you are egoistic. I is used in the sense of factual there, as a fact there.
But
not as an exaggerated opinion. Have you seen? So, when it is in line with fact, it is different. When it is exaggerated, it is egoistic. Remember this. So, nir mama nir ahankara. And then, he is balanced in both pleasure and pain. Sama dukkha sukha. Just because you are a bhakta doesn't mean you will not have dukkha. Dukkha is that. You already studied these things before. Don't think it is something new you are studying. He is just putting it in different ways. Somewhere it clicks. The entire Gita I told you is given in 2nd chapter. It is elaborated. Again he gives it back as a summary in the 18th chapter. So he said, where have we studied about Astha Pragya in the 2nd chapter? When Arjuna asked Shri Krishna, Sthita Prajnyasya Ka Bhasha Samadhisthasya Keshava Sthitadi Kim Prabhasheta Kim Adhita Prajeta Kim. Then Shri Krishna answered by saying, Prajahati Yadakaman Sarvan Partha Manavratan Atmaniyeva Atmana Pushtahar Sthita Prajnyasya Bhushate. Then he says, Dukkeshu Anudvigna Manaha Sukeshu Vigatas Praha. I'm coming to that. Dukkeshu, when Dukkha comes, he is not affected. Sukeshu Vigatas Praha. He is not excited. He is balanced both in Dukkha and Sukha. Now when will you be balanced both in pleasure and pain? When will the balance come?
When you have risen above the duality, the
see, whenever this balance word comes, you must remember this example to understand the concept. A person walking on the rope and balancing himself, how does he do? He'll take the help of a stick and then his attention focus will be in front at a particular point, correct? There are so many people watching. He doesn't allow his attention to distract in those directions. Sometimes to keep his balance, he may be tilting on the left side or the right side. Even when he is tilting on the left side or the right side, his attention is where?
In the front.
So when there is a goal, when there is an ideal that you focus on, your personal pleasure and pain doesn't affect you. The balance comes when there is focus. When there is no focus, balance doesn't come. Isn't it? Understand? Impossible. Our person balancing. This is one topic which generally a lot of company scholars to give a talk. This is it. Balancing profession and life. Work-life balance. What is work-life balance? When your work is to enhance your wealth, when your work is to enhance your assets, that is when you throw yourself out of balance. Are you with me? But when your work is to not to enhance your wealth or asset, but as an obligation to contribute to the total from which you have taken, with an higher ideal when you function, you are balanced. Ahead is pleasure or pain. Are you with me? And an action that is supported by love and not by like. And as a like, then pleasure comes. Unpleasant experience, pleasant comes. I am not doing action because I like personally. I do it out of love. Are you with me? Then the balance comes. So a bhakta is doing because of his love for the divinity. So the personal difficulty, personal pain, everything he keeps aside. When a mother does an action for the welfare of the child, even though pain is coming, right, she is balanced in pain, both in pain and pleasure. In fact, it is more difficult to be balanced in pleasure than in pain. Isn't it? To say that the pleasure has also come because of the act of divinity is difficult. When pain comes, you say, sometimes you say, oh, Bhagavan has given it to me for making me understand, become a better person. Sometimes you can say that when pain comes. But when pleasure comes, you say, I have done it. It's due to my contribution. Isn't it? Both pleasure and pain, you remain balanced because you understand that aspect of divinity and is playing its role in everything. Sama Dukkha Sukha. So you have to practice these things. When you grow closer and closer to the divinity, these qualities naturally, spontaneously express out of you. But as a sadhak, you should also work, put in the effort to maintain balance in both pleasure and pain. You should put in that effort. In fact, it is very important to maintain this samatvam when you are a sadhak. Because there are so many forces inadvertently or consciously will try to put you out of balance. See, for example, I am coming to this class. Just before coming to this class, somebody may pick up an argument with me. It is important for me to maintain the balance. Otherwise, I will be finished. So if I keep my focus in the total, not in the immediate thing, then I will not get unnecessarily involved and then lose my balance. Balance comes when I have the objective view. You know? So when I have this desire propelling me, then I'm just working so that I increase my asset. As a result of that, what happened? The time I spent with my family, the time I spent with my friends, the time I have to spend for my own body, everything suffers. That is when my work-life balance goes out of proportion, isn't it? But when I understand the total, in that this is one aspect, then I will be balanced. See, for example, class is from 11 to 12:15. Right. Now, for example, you are sitting and studying. Now, study is one aspect of the total. Only studying is not going to completely make you evolve. Study also helps you, it is needed. It is one aspect. There are other things. You have to do yoga, you have to do bhakti yoga, you have to do everything, karma, everything is there. But what happens when you are studying? Sometimes the study is giving you the joy, the pleasure. Right? So 12:15 you don't finish. I want to study a little more, it's nice. So then the next action, what you are supposed to do at 12:15 or 12:30, that suffers. Because you like this. And that 12:30 thing, in comparison, may not be that pleasurable thing compared to this. Are you with me? So you extend this, then you postpone, then you get into trouble. So how do you get involved? How do you not maintain balance when you do not have the big picture? A bhakta is one who maintains that big picture. His actions are in line with the big picture. As a result of that, any aspect he doesn't get involved and throws himself out of balance. He doesn't do it. So you should always remember, you know, somebody is hurting you, whatever is my whole thing is to win the argument with him or her, or to retain the balance and achieve my higher goal. Are you with me? Then even with pain you will be balanced. And when pleasure comes, is my job is done when I win just the small battles and be pleasurable, or I not limit myself and achieve that highest? When I ask these questions, then I will be balanced. So this is what he says. A bhakta is balanced in both pleasure and pain. Now comes the seventh quality, very important quality, kshami. What does kshami mean? Forgiving. Now, forgiving is giving at the mental level. When you give, you see from the other person's angle. When you take, you see from your angle. Isn't it? When I meet somebody, I am thinking in terms of what I can get from him, not in terms of what I can do for him. When I give, I am seeing from what I can do for you. Therefore, I am giving. So, from your angle. So, what is forgiving? Somebody is doing something. You are seeing from his angle. a person is behaving this way, Father, forgive them, they know not what they are doing.
So when he said they know not what they are doing, they very well knew that they are hurting Jesus Christ.
So then why does Jesus Christ say that they know not what they are doing? Why does he say that they know not what they are doing?
Because they are ignorant, they are just looking at the physical level, they think this is Jesus. They don't know that everybody is a spark of God in everybody and the higher thing.
What is that they don't know? You're right, little more. What is that they don't know?
That they are part of a whole.
That's what she said. What they don't know is that they are actually hurting themselves. What I am doing to him is going to come back to me. What goes around comes around. You mean when I am hurting somebody, it comes, there is a little time gap. Therefore I am not connecting correctly. And sent this message in the group that Swami is lecturing on law of karma in Mumbai. It's there in the live webcast. I don't know how many of you saw that. This is exactly what he was also talking about there. You don't understand what you do is going to come back. You're not connecting.
That also means that maybe Jesus Christ did something to get back to us.
At the physical level, the karma that comes back to you. But how your attitude is.
No.
That is true. Karma comes to you.
Same.
Nothing comes to you without you having done.
Yeah.
So karma comes. Could come because of so many reasons. That is how action reaction continues. Everybody, everything comes back to you as per the karma. See, Ramana Maharishi had to go through that problem, but he went through that without any anesthesia also. Right? That is due to past karma. If you neglected the body, right, a disease will come just because self-love doesn't mean it will not come. Then the Mahamasha Paramahamsa apparently went to certain things. So all this, that is karma, that will function in that niyati. The body will function in its niyati. Mind will function. This is going to be part of the karma. But he was not affected by it. He had forgiveness.
How come he had that forgiveness? Is seen from their back. See, this is forgiving. Forgiving doesn't mean, see, again forgiving is,
I forgive them. They are not understood. I forgive. Now who are you to forgive? You are putting yourself in a little higher pedestal and then you are forgiving. That is not the idea. There is a subtle level of ego. I am forgiving. But I am a little higher. Grown up person. I am forgiving them. You understand the ignorance with which they are functioning. Simple. So this is what he says, Mark Twain says, forgiveness is the fragrance. The violet releases as the foot crushes it. As the foot is crushing, the violet is releasing the fragrance. So how are you able to release it? So it is coming from you. It is in you. It has to be in you. The fragrance is in the violet. No?
That's the true nature, right?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
He is not
becoming
forgiving with reference to that action. He is forgiving because that is his essential nature. The compassion, the forgiveness, everything. It has got nothing to do with what you are doing. He cannot be but forgiving. Because always looks at it from the other person's angle, from the total angle. Giving is from that person.
See, when you give at the material level, you see from the other person and give. Similarly, mental giving is forgiving.
Maybe he is agitated, therefore he behaved like this. Maybe he is drunk. He is drunk by his desires. Why is a person behaving that way? Drunk by his or her desires. The desires have clouded their intellect, buddhi. If the desires were not clouding their intellect, they will not function this way. Now that doesn't mean the way you will deal with them is going to be going and relating with them all the time. You understand the nature. With reference to animals, we understand this. Isn't it? Our attitude towards animals, we understand the nature of the tiger is like this. We have no hatred or animosity. But when it comes to human beings, that is the problem. We don't have this clear understanding. Forgiving. So forgiveness is giving us the mental level. It is a state of maturity. You cannot force forgiving. A lot of people think forgiving is forgetting. Forgiving is not forgetting. You may still remember, right? But you cannot have a hatred or anything. You will only be having forgiveness. That is due to your maturity. Not forgetting. Forget the past. No. Forgiveness is an acceptance. They also have right to live. If somebody is having a certain opinion, you have the right to have your opinion. Isn't it? Just like I have my right, you have your own philosophy. They also have a role in this existence. It's very interesting. It's needed. Jesus Christ says, there will be this difference, rich and poor. This is how the world will be. You understand? You cannot avoid that. There will be good and bad. Even in the fourth chapter when we studied that famous verse, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutta adharmasya tadatmanam sujanyaham. What he is saying is, adharma will be there. But when adharma overpowers dharma, then I descend and take. So, avatar. This is what he said, no? So in other words, there will be iniquity there shall be. Woe unto you if you be the cause of it. So when you see iniquity, you accept that is also part. As a result of that, forgiveness comes. They also have. How you respond to them would be out of forgiving. See, all the avatars' response, as per our Puranas, is respond out of forgiveness. It's never out of ego, never out of non-acceptance. Really, when it interferes with the total, then their actions are accordingly. But deep inside there is forgiveness. Not to settle score, there is no personal animosity. This is the difference. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is being at the mental level. And they also have right to exist. Once you accept that, then that is forgiveness. There is no ego. With ego, when you forgive, it is not forgiveness. It is not about helplessness also. There are other set of people. When it comes to my patient, I forgive him. If he has hurt me. If it is ordinary fellow, then I don't forgive. So that is not forgiving really, isn't it? Mike Tyson comes and punches me, I say, I forgive you. So it is not out of lack of choice. In the case of the example of Mike Tyson, if they hurt you, it is out of lack of choice you are saying, I am forgiving you. And somebody who is at a much lower level, whom you can actually crush, finish them, there the choice is there. Are you with me? But you are not forgiving. So what it means is, you are not really forgiving. The choice is there and you are forgiving. In fact, those who quote the Jesus Christ quotation, they quote very wrongly many times. Like, Father, forgive them, they know not what they did. When he says that, before that he says, I can summon the angels if I want to finish them off. What he is trying to say is, you have the choice. And yet, with the choice, with a higher understanding, you continue forgiving. That is majority. We are all forgiving when, this is what happens, a lot of people, when there is no possibility to show their authority, they will be humble. Wherever they get little power, which means what? From inside they have always been like that. And that is not a bhakta, even when he has the choice. So in other words, when you say forgiving, you must have the choice, and yet you forgive out of understanding, out of acceptance. They also serve who stand and wait, said John Milton. They also serve who stand and wait. Everything has a role to play. But when it comes as a problem for the total, then you got to interfere if that happens to be your obligation. So this verse gave seven qualities. What are the seven qualities? Adveshta sarva bhutana. Then maitra, friendly. Then karuna. Then nir mama. Nir ahankara. Sama dukkha sukha. And kshama. Like I said, whichever quality is pursued, you take that and consciously try to develop that. One quality, if you can focus and develop, one or two or three, whatever, if you focus and develop, automatically all the other qualities will simultaneously develop in you. Next verse.
Santushtatatam yogi, yatatma drida nishchayaha, mayyarpitamano buddhihi, yo mat bhaktasami priyaha, santushtatatam yogi, yatatma drida nishchayaha, mayyarpitamano buddhihi, yo mat bhaktasami priyaha. Mayi arpita mano buddhi. There are so many qualities, right? I am just taking this quality first. In me, you devote, dedicate your mind and buddhi. Satatam santushta. Santushta satatam. Santushta means content. Content when? Satatam. Always content. A bhakta is one who is always content. Santushta satatam. And he is a yogi. Always uniting with the self. And what? Yatatma. Yatatma means striving. Self-controlled and striving. Dhridanishaya. With determination. Not giving up. With firm conviction. Mai arpita mano buddhihi. His mind and buddhi is dedicated to the self. He is my bhakta, he is dear to me. See, when Krishna says his priya is dear to me, others are all not dear to him. What does he mean by saying dear to me? All other deities?
No, but those people will beat him quicker. I mean, they are closer to their destination.
Who are more connected to?
See, when he says dear, the word dear we use now is dearer to me. It is close to me. He is saying they are dear to me because they have turned their attention upon me. So it is like they have gone and they are sitting in the flight. They will reach London. Others have still not sat in the flight. So they will not reach London. So the others, they are also close to me. But they have not taken the step to reach me. That sense, they are priya. That madbhakta priya. This is some people interpret it wrongly. So if you are Krishna's bhakta, you will be dear to Krishna.
If you are worshipping Hanumanji, finished, khatam. Ganeshji to bilkul khatam, because Hanumanji is at least devotee of Rama. Ganeshji is, these don't give him all involvement. Madhbhakta is priya to me, he is dear to me, because he has turned his attention towards me. That's it. So, santushta satatam, what is this? Always content. How is that?
Dukkha and sukha, he is balanced. He doesn't get overboard in anything.
So when he says satatam santushta,
consistent.
If your contentment is coming from your external achievement, will it be satatam?
No.
It won't be. So obviously when he says santushta satatam, his contentment is not coming from the external achievements. It is coming from internal. Please remember this. Bhakta's contentment has got nothing to do with external achievements. Because there is no contentment possible from external. When is enough enough? When will you say, oh, I've got enough? Mind can never be happy. Never say, I had enough. You can never say that. So this contentment that he is talking about is not a contentment that comes from the level of the mind. It is contentment that comes from the level of buddhi, which is in identification with the self. Please remember this. Mind level, mind will never say no. Mind, that is why it's compared to fire. It will consume the entire forest. Will it say, enough for that? I would want to consume another forest now. Next forest. Isn't it? It is not happy with whatever it is consumed. It wants more. Give me more. The advertisement they give for Pepsi. Give me more. They will mange more. So, your mind will be asking for more only. So obviously his contentment is because his pursuit is not driven by the mind. As long as your pursuits are driven by the mind, it is not contentment, fulfillment, permanent fulfillment. Satatam. So that's what he means. Bhaktas. So a lot of people, this is another thing. This is little difficult for the people who have got the Western mindset. I'm not saying Western people, Western mindset. Little difficult. They say, if you are contented, you will not act. So you should not be contented. You have to be discontented. Only then you will act. See, what you got to understand is, a discontented person, obviously he will be running, and you will never feel contented. What they are saying is, you will never feel contented from your external achievements. But your action itself, if you are discontented and from that discontentment the action is coming, then you will be not clearly acting. You will not be acting with clarity. Are you with me? So you must have that inner contentment with which you have that clarity, but you are not having contentment with your achievements. Oh, I had enough. Stop. You will continue. You will continue with that contentment because your pursuit is driven by your buddhi for a higher purpose. You will never stop. In fact, this is the difference between a workaholic and a Vedanta. A workaholic, when the result is not coming, or some obstacle is there, he'll get agitated. Whereas a Vedanta, whenever there is an obstacle coming, how does the river go towards the ocean? If it's an obstacle which it can overcome, it will crush it into pebble, a mountain, it will crush it into a pebble and go. If it is not possible, it will go round and round. So the attention is always there. It's not driven by my pleasure, my will. So there is no contentment from the external. It is from within. Santushta satatam and yogi. is always united with the goal. I am doing this to get back to the self. My intention, why am I conducting these classes? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? Because this is going to help me to unite with the self. Not because of the appreciation that comes or this comes or that comes. So that is called yogi. Yogi is always union with the self, with the guru. Then yatatma. Yatatma means self-controlled. To be able to get to that self, I need to practice control over my personality. So it is not self-denial, it is self-control. Self-denial is what? Suppressing. This is not going to help me to get to the goal. Therefore I control my urges. It's going to take me away from the goal. With that understanding when I do, it's my intellect controlling. Then it is self-control, not self-denial. Then, dhrida nischaya, having firm conviction. What is this dhrida nischaya? Usually, you think bhakta means somebody who will have no intellectual conviction. Here he said, no, his intellect is very clear. His determination is come from like Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's conviction in God. Keshav Chandra went to argue with him about to prove that there is no God. Ramakrishna just was listening to him. He was going on arguing so logically. He started dancing. He said, don't dance now. You are supposed to tell me, argue with me. And he started dancing as he was arguing. And then went and hugged him when he finished. He said, see, this proves that there is God, because who else can argue better than God that there is no God like this? And Keshav Chandra said, there is no way I can break this man's conviction. In fact, he is convincing me with his purity. Right? The conviction in the higher is detrimental. The truth will prevail. Truth can never be shaken. That conviction should be there. You do not have the conviction in truth, in God. You know, Swamiji also says always, why dollar's value is going on increasing? Because they write in dollar, in God we trust. Right? That is correct or not, he just puts it like this to convey something. The conviction in the truth, written is shared. You know, the maths book, they give some problems and at the end of the book they give the answers. If you have conviction, you do not want to look at the answer only. They purposely sometimes print wrong answers. There has to be conviction in the action, not in the result. My action is correct. It is in line with the total. Now it is the problem of the Bhagavan to give me result. It is not my problem. I move on. You understand? Ishvara gives the phala, phala-dhata. Now it is his problem. That is why when you surrender to Bhagavan and function, now it becomes his problem. I am doing what is to be done. That conviction in truth, in reality, in form, in the higher aspects of life. Mayi arpita manobuddhi. This is something which is personally inspiring to me. Like I said, there are certain qualities inspiring. Mayi arpita manobuddhi. There has to be a congruence between the mind and the buddhi. Buddhi also says, this is what you are supposed to do. Mind also surrenders to that. In some cases, mind is doing, buddhi is not doing. Buddhi is doing, mind is not doing. But in the case of a bhakta, the total personality is there. That is when you move faster. Isn't it? Mayi arpita manobuddhi. Mind and intellect both in line with your conviction. You got to bring both your mind and intellect in line. Then such a person is dear to you. Mad bhakta such a mean priya. Such a person is dear to you. So it is not important whether God is dear to you. What is important is whether God thinks you are dear to him. And
And he says, if you have these qualities, you are dearer to me. To the extent you have these qualities, you are dearer to me. So you got to strive to imbibe these qualities. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnam Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Kayena Vacha Manasendriyerva Manasendriyerva Buddhyatmanava Buddhyatmanava Prakrte Swabhavat Prakrte Swabhavat Karomi Adhyat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmahi Narayanayeti Samarpayami Narayanayeti Samarpayami.